You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. Heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil, the boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. As usual, with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. I noticed you got your Toronto Maple Leaf sweater on this morning. The Argo hat, I just don't understand, Naz.
I haven't heard anything from the Argos. When are they going to do something?
The Argo hat, I don't understand. Anyways, let's get into it.
Should be Toronto FC. They won 3-1 yesterday.
3-1 FC. They got to get to concentrate on their MLS season. They're already out of the CONCACAF. Got taken out by the team from Panama. They had to play What was it? Minus 20, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't get the part about playing soccer in northern. U.S. or Canada in February. If somebody can explain that to me, please explain it to me.
I would have thought
those poor Panamanians, with all due respect, careful what I say, I would have thought those poor Panamanians would have been absolutely shocked when they walked out of the dressing room by the frigid weather conditions. But
they didn't go back to the airport.
They managed to do what they had to do. So congratulations to the team from Panama. I'm happy to see TFC is not happy to see them out. But I thought last year's CONCACAF, they came with penalty shots against that Mexican team and almost got through. Closest an MSL team ever has. And I thought that sort of sucked the energy out of them for the rest of the
Michael
season.
Michael Bradley scored 2 goals yesterday.
Yeah. So this is the post-Jovinko era. They're working on some contracts. Some guys are being airlifted over from Europe. And looked good yesterday. Give them credit. Mavinga looked good. Bradley, of course. So we hope I'm a big soccer fan, always have been, and we certainly hope TFC keep it going. We wish them the best of success this year. As usual, Naz, we're in the thick of the playoff race now, and so as things usually start off in the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, it's inevitably we get to our Toronto Maple Leaf talk. Leaf Nation has been riding a roller coaster over the course of the last few weeks, and we certainly want to talk about the Leafs. We're going to talk some Raptors today. We've got Leo Routens coming on in the middle of the hour. There's going some hot stuff happening in Ottawa this week, which we will get an opportunity to chat about. Eugene Melnick's been a friend of the show for a long time, so we certainly want to talk about the Senators a little bit, about what's happened over there and the unceasing criticism that he seems to take. But Toronto Maple Leafs, Naz, every Sunday we come in they're basically in the same place in the standings, although the Boston Bruins seem to be squeezing an extra point.
They're three
points up on the Leafs. They've played the same number of games. The inevitable result here is it's going to be Toronto and Boston. And the only
doesn't
issue
look good, Wally.
No,
doesn't look good, that series.
The only issue is the first game in Toronto or is the first game in Boston, unless something dramatic happens. They're headed on another collision course, and we've certainly got some demons, Toronto Maple Leaf demons, to exercise in a playoff series with the Boston Bruins. So that's where we're headed. Leafs up and down. Game Thursday night, it's should we read anything into that game, Naz? Leafs got, I guess the word
Mike
is,
Babcock said they played 24 minutes.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, they got manhandled, didn't they?
Yeah, at the end. Yeah, third period, they did.
And is that concerning to you?
No.
Why not?
Because it's the one game in 82 in the NHL.
That was an important game, though, wasn't it?
To who? To John Tavares, probably.
Yeah, I would have thought the Leafs Leafs would have stepped up a little bit. But yeah, you know what, Naz, it's one game out of 82. I don't disagree with you.
They're playing back-to-back. They're playing with their backup goalie, who is not played very well, Sparks.
I've seen...
And that's an issue.
Yeah, it's a significant issue. So, you know, let me not even go there.
Those shots that beat him were pretty
yeah. Let's talk about the coaching decision, because Mike Babcock, you know, he's highest paid coach in the NHL. I don't know how relevant that is, but I just thought I'd throw that out there before I go to my next comment. Seems to be coming under a little bit of criticism for perhaps the first time in his tenure in Toronto. He came here. He was the Messiah. Although we had that debate, and I said he wasn't the Messiah. Good coach. I'm not going to denigrate. I'm not here to denigrate Mike Babcock's achievements. He's certainly considered the premier coach of his generation. He's arguably the premier coach of his generation. Although, you know, we've had that debate, Naz. Won a Stanley Cup. Somehow, if you win a Stanley Cup, that takes you to a different ranking in the pantheon of NHL coaches. Al McNeil won a Stanley Cup. Two Olympics. Fair enough, but the Olympics...
Made the final with Anaheim one year that they weren't anywhere... anywhere close to being in the final. Made the playoffs every year in Detroit that he coached.
What's he done in the last 10 years?
He's won every year. He's won two playoff series
in the last 10 years.
As soon as he left Detroit hasn't won four years.
Yeah. Well, they don't have Nick Lidstrom on the back end anymore either. But I'm not going to turn this into a criticism of Mike Babcock, but he is starting to... you know, people are getting a little bit nervous about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and there's some of his coaching decisions are now, for the first time I've seen during his reign here in Toronto, are being questioned. Let's talk about a couple of them. When the Leafs play back-to-backs, it's always Freddie Anderson first, Garrett Spartz.
Always has been with Babcock.
Okay.
Last year, too.
Garrett Sparks second.
He should be third. He should be third.
Yeah, okay. Should a coach even think about the situation of the two games and who they're playing against and the matchups in terms of deciding which goalie goes up first? Because it would have seemed to me there's two theories on that. Is you just go automatic, you go with your best when your best is available. Mm-hmm. So your best, Freddie Anderson, is always available on the first game of the back-to-back.
Correct.
And that's, I understand that theory. How about you go with your best against the better team you're playing in the back-to-back? And certainly the more difficult situation would have been the Islander game. Sparks, you got Sparks at home against... Wednesday night was against Edmonton. Edmonton wasn't doing that great.
But does Edmonton beat the Leafs with Sparks in net?
I guess that's the debate. So let's have that debate. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback it after it happened. Would Freddie Anderson being in net in the game against the Islanders have made any difference? I don't know. Not if they played the way they did, but would they have won the Edmonton game with Sparks in net?
Maybe.
No. But I guess Babcock's theory probably is you go with your best when you have your best available, and you grab the 2 points when they're on the table.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but he's getting somewhat criticized for that because it's easy to make that criticism after the two games and after that effort against New York Islanders. The other criticism Babcock I see is he doesn't play his horses enough minutes. Let me give you a statistics, Naz. Austin Matthews, he's the future. He's big, strong. Goals per game in the elite in the NHL. He's 75th in the NHL in ice time. Is that making 11 points? He's not making $11.6 million yet, but he will. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, he's a forward, so he'll be less than the defenseman.
Yeah.
But
75th.
75th, yeah.
Don't you think a guy like, of all the elite centers in the league, he's...
He should be at the same ice time as Marner. Marner kills penalties, and that's the difference, right? Auston Matthews should be killing penalties, too, like Sidney Crosby does, like Malkin does. The Penguins don't have a problem with Sidney Crosby killing penalties. Why not Auston Matthews killing penalties? And he could do it, too, because his 200-foot game is pretty good.
Mike Babcock, Toronto Maple Leafs are headed to a series against the Boston Bruins.
That's where they're heading.
And do you see... That series makes me a little bit nervous. The other criticism of amongst many, where the Leafs seem to have difficulty is down low, and all the hockey analysts are saying they don't play well down low in their own zone. They don't play well down low in the other zone.
They're better in the offensive zone than they are in the defense.
That's not good matchup against the Boston Bruins.
Well, last year they took them to seven games, and they were a third period away from advancing in Boston, and they didn't have John Tavares. So who knows, Wally? The one thing that Boston is doing, and I always said this, the Leafs have not learned to play the close games, the low-scoring games, and the high-scoring games. Boston can do both. They won 1-0 against New Jersey last night. They win that type of game. I don't see the Leafs ever winning 1-0. Do you?
They're not built to win 1-0.
Exactly. And in the playoffs,
they're just not built to win 1-0 games. I can see them winning 4-3 games, 3-2, 5-4. But the playoffs this time of year, that's not the way hockey is played. And we'll have that discussion every Sunday from here to playoff time. Be nice if they bridge that gap against the Bruins and catch up those 3 points. They're going out west this week. They got the Calgary Flames, I think, Monday night. Calgary's one of the top teams in the league, and where that came from. And they get the rematch with the Oilers, and they get the Canucks.
I think it's Vancouver Wednesday.
Vancouver and then Edmonton. Yeah. So it'd be interesting 3 games. We're in the rush to the playoffs. And as they say, Naz, let's hope they ramp it up. And
everybody's crying for Gardner to come back now.
Right? It's good you brought that. I was going to take us to break, but I can't go to break. We're leaving that one outstanding. Jake Gardner. The whipping boy, the Larry Murphy of this generation. The only thing I can say is sometimes you better be careful what you wish for. And is this team, in as it's currently constituted, a better team without Jake Gardner? I don't think so. Mind you, our other whipping boy, Mr. Marinson, who I had a few words.
I was shocked you said it.
But he had a good game last night.
Oh, my God.
He had a good game last night. He made an interesting – he almost scored a goal. He deked out one of the Buffalo today.
He deked himself out.
He looked like Drew Doughty going in on there. But
there's a comparison.
I don't want to be overly critical. Marinson played well, and I'll give him credit for it. If he can keep up that level of performance, all it does is make things better for the Leafs. And we get Gardner back. We get Dermott back. I know a lot of people are not going to be happy to get Gardner back, but
the Rosen kid has played well in with the Marlies. He's hurt too, but he's the leading scorer of all AHL defensemen. So we have somebody down there that can really skate the puck out.
Yeah, we got a few options. So
Sheldon Keefe's done a good job down there.
Criticism of the Leaf defense is their lack of physicality, and we'll see whether that becomes how difficult that becomes for them when these games get tougher and playoffs come along, because you know, those Boston Bruins forwards, they like the bang, and the Bruins.
I got to put up with Marchand for another series. Oh my god.
Anyways,
what a pain in the butt he is.
Anyways, we've got to go to break. When we come back to break, we're going to have a, like I said, we have Leo Routens. We're going to talk some Raptors, but there's a situation in Ottawa that got a little bit heated on Friday when they let the coach go, Guy Boucher, and the organization has come under a surge, torrent of criticism, and I want to talk a little bit about that. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we received this letter. My marriage is in a rut. Can you help us spice things up? Yes. Get the gourmet special. Two medium gourmet pizzas for just $24.99. He loves Canadian bacon, so he'll order a deluxe. She can order the Italian, because she loves the hot Italian sausage. Everyone's happy.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Steel's Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steel's Paint, 4190 Steel's Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. I almost forgot that, Naz.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's what happened.
You recovered.
www.zoomerradio.ca. You know, that's what happens when you get on Zoomer Radio. The memory goes. Anyways, Eugene Melnick's been a friend of our show for years. He's always taken the time for us. We've chatted about him over the years about a lot of different things. We've chatted with him about, obviously, his personal difficulties. You know, he probably considers himself lucky to be alive. You know, he came pretty close. Contributes to all kinds of different charities. And we've talked to him about hockey. We've talked to him about his personal challenges. We've talked to him about the Senators. And he is taking some incredible criticism. It's been a while. Got himself in hot water over a comment that he made at that NHL game that they had in Ottawa, the outdoor game.
Yeah.
I thought it was probably poor timing on the comment that he made. Whether he regrets it or not, I don't think he regrets what he said. I think he regrets the timing of it. All he really said at that time was, look, and I don't remember his exact words, but the gist of what he said was, you know, if we continue to lose money here, you know, we can't keep doing this forever in Ottawa. I don't see how any rational economic actor could possibly argue with that comment. I mean, he's got no obligation to stay there forever and lose money. It probably wasn't the right time to say it. I thought that was the turning point in terms of the criticism. And now some of the criticism has just gotten off the rails. The organization is dysfunctional. The NHL should put it in trusteeship. They should take it over. They got to run Melnick out of town. It gets worse from there. Let's talk about it, Naz. The Senators have had their difficulties on the ice ever since they overachieved in that playoff series a year and a half. Was it 2 years ago now? 2 years ago. They almost got to the Stanley Cup final.
Could have won the cup that year.
They would have won the cup if they had gotten past Pittsburgh, but yeah, so what? That's a fruitless argument. But they almost got to the Stanley Cup final. They overachieved. And man, have they really gone the other way since then? It's just like one event after another has conspired to take the franchise to a position right now where it's struggling at the gate. Eugene is struggling. The Ottawa media is just going crazy. It's like they're deranged and going after him. Thursday, earlier this week, they say, we're not going to fire Pierre Dorion, Guy Boucher. And then Friday morning, they fired him. And I know you and he's getting excoriated, both of them in the media. And I hope Eugene's not reading Twitter, because, wow, the Twitter mob is ganging up on him like he's he's invaded Earth from some crazy planet. Not a lot of love for Eugene Melnick amongst the Ottawa media right now. Let's talk about the Guy Boucher firing. I know, Naz, you're critical of it. The media is saying, well, why bother firing him with 20
games, 19
left?
Games.
Just let him hang on.
Let it ride.
And so we're going to go crazy on Eugene or Pierre Dorion. And I don't know. It's probably Pierre's decision, but I doubt very much that decisions like that don't get blessed by Eugene. I don't see that as a big deal. I'll be quite frank with you, Naz. And, we disagree on this one. I think Boucher's the seventh coach who's been fired this year. Okay, so you fire him. You got to pay him anyways. His contract runs out at the end of this year. You're going to fire him after the last whistle blows in the last game. Everybody knows that. They're saying, you embarrass him by firing him now. It's almost to a certain extent.
His contract was running out the way.
Yeah, you're almost embarrassing him by keeping him there. I didn't, some of the comments I saw from the players, not that they were negative towards Guy Boucher. They just weren't, some of the comments from the players is like, we're not making anything happen out here. What we're doing isn't working. If that is an indictment of the coach, I don't know what is. They were classy enough not to come out and criticize Guy Boucher directly, by all accounts, Guy Boucher is a pretty decent man. These are difficult situations, family man, probably he's got a family and firing somebody, but, to keep him there, the team's doing nothing. The players are making comments that are not directly derogatory about the coach, but derogatory about their performance on the ice. So why bother keeping them there for another? I mean, the Leafs, remember, this sort of reminds me what the Leafs went through.
Yeah, with Carlisle, yeah.
Remember that year with Carlisle?
That was January.
And that was early January, and that was a criticized decision because of what happened, the way it came down. The Leafs, I think, were only like two or three Well, I'd have to go back and Google it and research it. I think they were only like 3 or 4 points out of a playoff spot at the time that he got fired. But there were certain things happening. And then Carlisle, if I recall correctly, I don't know, I'm speculating. I thought he was on the way out to Winnipeg to attend.
No, there was a game in Winnipeg.
Was there a game
and then
in
after
Winnipeg?
The game, somebody
there
passed
was something
away.
He got a call in the middle of the night. I don't remember, but the Leafs were criticized by the way they handled that. And then the next, I think this is just when we went on the air, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Peter Horachuk took over.
Couldn't even remember his name, took over, and it was an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
It was an absolute disaster. And, you know, then we shipped Phaneuf out of town, we shipped Kessel out of town, we shipped a whole bunch of people out of town, and we more or less started from scratch. And isn't that what the Ottawa Senators are doing?
They're doing that. They have Mark Crawford as their coach. He's a Stanley Cup winner in his own right, right?
But, and there's a lot of people who speak very highly of Mark Crawford. You know, he's a Stanley. If winning a Stanley Cup in and of itself is a benchmark of something, then, you know, Mark Crawford has achieved that. And he had a really good run in Colorado. He's certainly an experienced coach.
He's not the guy for this team, though.
Well,
as far as I'm concerned, you got to go younger. There was a rumor about Alain Vigneault coming. He's not the answer either. I think you need a young startup coach, and there's one in Toronto right now that deserves an NHL job.
Sheldon Keefe.
Yeah, he'd be perfect for that situation.
Yeah, apparently, there's a coach down in Belleville who are the Senators' AHL team that's highly regarded as well. So they might promote from within. Guy Boucher's gone. We got Mark Crawford to the end of the year, but it's, you know, the other thing that's happened in Ottawa in the last couple of weeks is they shipped quite a bit of talent out of town. And the one that got, Duchesne, Mark Stone traded him to Vegas.
Yep.
Mark Stone, considered one of the elite players in the league, signed a new contract with Vegas.
That was quick, eh? After he got traded, that was very quick. They signed him right away. Strange. That could have been that.
The Ottawa organization
was probably in the works for a week.
Or so. That was in the works for sure. The Ottawa organization has taken an incessant amount of criticism for tearing the team apart, and I think it all started going downhill when the whole Erik Karlsson issue came up, and I got to think Erik Karlsson, my sense is that the Senators, and why wouldn't you, probably made a reasonable attempt to get Karlsson signed. And sometimes these players, they don't tell you in the media what they really want. My gut instinct tells me Karlsson just told the Senators, I'm not coming back here. Get rid of me. I'm not signing. I don't care what you pay me. And in that situation, what choice does a general manager have?
But the thing that turned sour, the reason why it turned sour is that trade for Duchesne from Colorado to Ottawa.
It's a bad trade.
They gave up a first-round pick.
And that's, yeah.
And you don't do that in the NHL today because it's going to come back to bite you, that first-round pick, especially where they were drafting. I think the Leafs went through that with Brian Burke. They traded for Phil Kessel, and they gave up a first-round pick.
Tyler Seguin
ended up being that person. Brian Burke thought his team was better, and that's why he made the trade. He said, I can trade a first-round, it'll be 20th, 21st, yeah, and it ended up being first.
With the Senators, I think you can legitimately criticize some of their hockey decisions. Some of them, you know, you don't know the whole story. My sense is some of them, perhaps they didn't have that much choice over. If Mark Stone walks in, I don't see any reason why the Ottawa Senators would not have wanted to sign Mark Stone, unless he's asking like $15 million. But for the money that Vegas was paying him, mind you, there may be no taxes in Nevada. That's another
issue. $9.5 million.
Yeah, but here's the issue. I have to believe that the Senators were probably willing to pay him that guy. That's not based on what's been the money that's been thrown around in the NHL nowadays. I don't think Mark Stone's overpaid. Some people were thinking he could have got more. I don't have any reason to doubt the senators probably offered him similar amount of money, and he said, I'm not staying in Ottawa. He says, I don't like it here based on what's going on. Where's the future? He probably made a decision he wanted out of town. And then the other decision, a lot of this doesn't come into the equation, because you got to compare apples with apples. $9 million in Nevada money is worth a lot more than $9 million in Ottawa money, because the tax man in Canada exacts a bigger pound of flesh than the tax man in Nevada. So, you know, that's another reason some of these, he may, from a strictly financial point of view, that may have been a kicker to get out of town as well.
Look at Columbus. They made the two trades with Ottawa. They could miss the playoffs. Even bringing Duchesne in, they could miss the playoffs. And they're not signing Panarin yet, and they're going to have difficulty signing him for sure.
Yeah,
they're going to be in maybe a bit of trouble themselves.
I know we got to go to break, Naz, here. We've been taking up a lot of time. There's one last issue I want to talk about the Senators is the breakdown of the LeBreton Flats. Negotiation, apparently that's done. The Senators don't have a new arena. That deal seems to be dead, and it seems like Melnick's taking all the heat for that too. It's like, why don't we blame him for global warming while we're at it? You know, I mean, and I'm sure some of the criticism it might be deserved, just because Eugene doesn't seem to sometimes use a filter. I'm not talking in a profanity sense. He speaks off the top of his mind. And I like that about him, because anybody else you talk to in the corporate world or they talk in cliches. They're going to tell you what you want to hear, and they're going to be diplomatic. Eugene tells you what's on his mind sometimes, and that comes back to hurt him. But he's seems to be taking all the heat for the breakdown in this arena struggle, and I think a lot of it's unfair. You know, it's a commercial negotiation. It's highly complex. And, you know, maybe Eugene wasn't getting out of it what he thought he deserved. I mean, at the end of the day, he's got the one asset. He's got the one, and everybody says he's got no leverage in negotiations. He's got the one asset that makes it all work. He's got the franchise, right? And he's got the franchise. And nobody's taken that out. In spite of all these things I hear that, it's dysfunctional, and they're going to put it in trusteeship, and they need a caretaker and this and that. They're not taking the franchise away from him. That's just the bottom line. And Gary Bettman, you know, and we chatted about him. You know, I criticize him to no end on this show. But the one thing I do respect Gary Bettman for is he doesn't walk from cities casually. You know, he's not gonna send Eugene out on a plank. Gary Bettman, the NHL is gonna back Eugene up. I got to think that they will. They're not gonna go polar opposite to Eugene, and that's not Bettman's style. And they're committed to Ottawa, and I think Eugene's committed to Ottawa. He just wants to make it work somehow. But you know, it's a commercial negotiation. Why blame Eugene for the fact that it broke down? I'm sure the other parties, you know, he's got an incredibly valuable asset that people want to leverage. So he's entitled to make the best possible deal he can possibly make.
He bought this team in 2004, right? And he ended up making the playoffs 9 times, semifinals once, finals once, and made the playoffs 9 times. What's wrong? The Leafs would have taken that in a heartbeat.
You know, and it's, they're just jumping him up. You know, some of the criticism is deserved. And I'm sure Eugene, when he reflects, would probably admit that some of it's just over the top. Some of it's just ridiculous. We're going to put the team in trusteeship.
He sure misses Brian Murray, doesn't he?
You know what? You hit the nail on the head. I think that's, if you want to look at the Senators from today and the Senators from five years ago, Brian Murray was a complete class act. Probably was able to manage some of him and Eugene were able to I don't know the details of that relationship, and I'm not going to speculate on it, but Brian Murray certainly seems to be missed. Anyways, we've got to go to break, and we're going to talk some basketball with Leo Routens when we come back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when I realised that, unlike pizza, you can enjoy Pizzaville's authentic panzerotti with just one hand.
Peterville and its entities, owned in whole or in part, have no interest in knowing what you do with your other hand while you're consuming one of our Panzerotti. Seriously.
Get two authentic Italian Panzerotti with cheese and sauce for just $10.49. One for each hand.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive. We'll likely save you money too. But the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, talk some basketball, Leo Routens. Good morning, Leo. How are you?
I'm good. How's everything this morning?
Everything's great. Thanks so much. We got all our Leaf talk out of our system, so we gotta get to the hard court, Leo. Big game Friday night. Great result, especially how the Raptors handled the situation in the last few minutes. I thought it was. I wouldn't call it a statement victory, but it was a good. It showed a lot of positives for the Raptors going forward. Is that your assessment of the game?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that, I think has tremendous potential, has potential to come out of the East. And right now is when everybody kind of locks in, and now is when you make your push. You have your remaining month and a half, and you try to lock it all down, get better, get comfortable, get your rhythm going, and the Raptors had a little slip against Orlando, mind you. You know, Orlando is 8-2 in their last 10 games and playing outstanding basketball, and they also beat Golden State. And they're playing good ball, but now is an opportunity for the Raptors. I think that game was almost like a little slap in the face to them, and it kind of refocused them a little bit. And they're just locking in right now. So this is a team that is showing you all their potential. Defensively, they can be outstanding, and they could be one of the best defensive teams. Offensively, there's a lot of potential, a lot of firepower, a lot of movement, and basically what you have now is you have a group of really high basketball IQ players on that team. They know how to play together, they know how to get the most out of each other, and I think it's just going to be quite honestly just a lot of fun watching how this team gears up over this final stretch to get ready for the postseason.
Leo, I've been looking at the standings lately, and I see that the Raptors are pretty entrenched in second place. They look like they may be playing the Pistons. That would be an interesting series, wouldn't it, with Dwayne Casey?
Well, it's interesting. You know, obviously there's a lot of storylines that could develop in the playoffs. And Dwayne Casey knows this team well, although the personnel you could say has dramatically shifted, since he's been here with the arrival of Lynn, Gasol, and Leonard, and Green. So it has changed personality, I think, in a lot of different ways. But certainly it'd be a made-for-TV kind of matchup, and the media would jump all over that one. But the reality is this, Raptors are, they're a better team. You know, we're going to see the two play today. You know, the Raptors are a better team. And when you look at the standings, depending on, you know, where things end up, it may not be the worst place to be in second place. I mean, the Raptors have done the first thing, and that hasn't always worked out well for them. So I think it's not a bad idea to actually play for position, depending on what other people are doing, and put yourself in the most advantageous seating going forward. So we'll see what happens.
We're talking to Leo Routens. Leo, it's been a few weeks since the Marc Gasol era started in Toronto, since he came in. Your analysis of how he's adjusted and what difference he makes in terms of the Raptors, in terms of the Raptors game.
Well, his adjustment has been, you know, pretty easy, simply because this is a guy that, like I said, he really knows how to play the game. And, you know, the game is easy for him because of the way he thinks the game. And, you know, he kind of, you know, I think there was a little adjustment period, you know, when you go from being in one team your entire career to all of a sudden going to a different environment. Also, his conditioning was affected by time. He had the All-Star break, all kinds of things going on, had to move his family. So now he's kind of settled in, and you're seeing the impact of him. He's a, you know, if you compare him, Jonas Valanciunas was getting better every year, and he was having his career year when the Raptors made this move. But what you get in Gasol versus Jonas Valanciunas, one, an established defensive stopper. I mean, the former defensive player of the year. He does a lot of things that JV wasn't necessarily comfortable with doing. You know, the last game against Portland, he was out trapping at midcourt with the guards. And here's a big, I wouldn't necessarily call him quick, big man, but getting out of his comfort zone, because that's what you need to do in those situations. And that's something we didn't see much from JV. Also, this guy can knock down a three. He's a very good shooter. So he's going to provide a lot of spacing on the floor. And maybe what separates him from, you know, arguably any other big in this league, he's an unbelievable passer. And so what happens now is everybody screens harder, runs faster, because you know you could get the ball. And when you have a guy that can space the floor out the way he does and find the open man, it just gives you a lot of incentive to play better, to set, you know, set better screens, to move and be aware where the ball is, because you know you're going to get it. So his impact pretty much has been immediate, and I think it's just going to get better as everybody gets comfortable around him.
Leo, there's a possibility that LeBron James may not make the playoffs, and a good possibility. He's three games out of a playoff spot now. Are you surprised at that?
You have to be surprised simply because this guy never misses the playoffs. So, and by virtue of that, I wouldn't say it's completely done yet, although it doesn't look great. He's just not a guy you want to count out. But I think LeBron has kind of hit an interesting intersection in his career, where, you know, he's still a dominant player, but he doesn't dominate the game on both sides of the ball. And physically, I don't know if he can, especially for extended periods of time anymore. So, you know, what you're seeing right now, he's showing some frustration, which isn't a great thing when you're supposed to be a leader of a young team. He passes the buck to a lot of the young guys on the team, which, again, if you're the leader, you're going to take that responsibility. And then he's asking us to play hard and defend, and he's really not, because he's conserving his body. So there's a lot of, you know, things that just aren't jiving, and it's affecting, you know, his ability to lead that team, because if you're not leading the right way, you're just not going to lead. And so, but, again, it's LeBron James. When he's not in the playoffs, I'll believe it.
there's still time left. Leo, Raptors, at the beginning of the season, the predictions were the Raptors might be fighting it out with the Celtics. Milwaukee's, I wouldn't say they've come out of nowhere, but I think to a certain extent they've surprised at the level that they've been able to take their team to. Are you surprised at all at how easily the Raptors handled the Celtics the other night? And are you surprised by the Bucks?
Here's the thing. They're struggling. We're going through a tough period. Most of the tough periods during the course of the season. They have some issues to deal with, but people didn't like Kyrie Irving's comment that, hey, in the playoffs, we can win any seven-game series. That tells you the confidence he has, and to a great extent, he's correct. So this is a team that if you have to play them in the playoffs, be careful. So I'm not counting them out in any way, shape, or form. When you look at Milwaukee, they tweaked their team a little bit, and I think it's been one of the most underrated moves this season was bringing in Mike Budenholzer, their coach. I think he's tremendous. I think he's done a lot of amazing things in his head coaching career, and taking teams that were with modest talent and really excelling, and now he's got a lot of talent, and he's been holding first place in the league. So, he's done a great job with that team, and they've all bought in. And you got one of the great players in the game today, in Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's just a tremendous leader for that team. Plays the game both ends, both sides of the ball, and he's just a great competitor. So, this team is good. But like I said, I think it just makes it interesting. Philadelphia as well is a team that you better pay attention to. They're very, very dangerous. And if you're not prepared to play, that can cost you in a series. So there's three teams, I believe, in the East that have a legitimate shot of coming out. I believe the Raptors are the best team for one reason. They have their key players have the most playoff experience of any of the other teams we mentioned, and collectively. And that makes a difference. We've seen how much experience plays into the playoffs. So, I think it's going to be a fun postseason. I really do. I think there's going to be some exciting matchups and series as we go.
Leo, March Madness is coming up pretty soon. Who are some of the favorites for the spring break tournament?
Well, I think it's a lot of usuals and some of these teams that are just having a great regular season. Are going to be tough to deal with. I mean, you look at Tennessee; they just pounded Kentucky, and they're a team that some people say are number one, some people say are not. But they've had a great season, and they're going to be a team that's going to be interesting to see what they do. And you look at Duke, and I think there's a great storyline there with Canadian RJ Barrett. And is Zion Williams going to come back? Is he going to be able to play with his knee? Does he want to come out and play? You look and there's a handful of teams that that can win it, and it's a question of the NCAA tournament is great from one respect. It's one and done. All right, if you take a best of seven, you can take your top teams and who's going to win. But when you're talking about one and done, and you're talking about teenagers and young guys. And incredible pressure. The ball gets smaller. The rim gets smaller every round. Tougher to shoot. Anything can happen. So when people say, "Wow, this is a shocker," or "This mid-major beat this team," it's a shock. There's no more shocking. Yeah. Anything can happen. Anything can change in a moment's notice in an NCAA tournament. I think the great thing this year is a lot of. There's a lot of Canadians having tremendous seasons. You got Iggy Brzdikis with Michigan. You got Lucas Dort, Arizona State. You got Nikhil Walker Alexander at Virginia Tech. You just go through the mentioned RJ. You can keep going down the list. There's so many kids having tremendous seasons and having an impact. I think that's going to be one of the fun storylines, along with obviously who's going to come out on top and be the eventual champion.
Haven't been following it that closely just yet. Obviously, I've been watching what they've been doing down at Duke. That's been the big story this year. But the Orange this year, Leo, your beloved Syracuse, how are they shaping up?
They're okay. You know, my gut is they'll get in the tournament. And obviously, if you play zone, you play zone wing. When the basket gets small, the zone becomes more effective. And in a one-and-done tournament, I think the zone causes people a lot of problems, as previous years have proven. But they're an interesting team because they can be at times really good, as in winning, you know, at Duke. And at times they can be really bad, as in losing to Buffalo at home. So they're an interesting team. You know, Jim Boeheim is still trying to figure out how to get this group to stay consistent. And I don't know if this team really can. So it'll be interesting. But, you know, the Orange, they should sneak in there, and then whatever happens, happens. So it should be fun watching them.
Anyways, we've been talking to Leo. Leo, it's always a pleasure talking to you. It's always a privilege. And thanks so much for taking the time for us on a busy Sunday morning for you. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.
No worries, guys. Pleasure's all mine. Have a great day.
Have a great day. Leo Routens. Raptors. I'm just looking at the...
it's either New Jersey or Detroit they're going to play well.
Let me see here. The interesting part is I didn't realize they were on this much of a hot streak. They're 9-1 in the last 10 games. Wow.
But you, as a Raptor fan, you want the playoffs to start now. You know, these games are like they're really meaningless to the Raptors. And you want them to start
Well, I don't
the
know. Are they meaningless? Why would they be
they're
meaningless?
They're going to be in second place. That's where they're going to be.
Or they could be in first place.
No, they won't catch Milwaukee.
It's only two games back. That's...
Two games is like 10 in the NBA.
Why do you say that?
No, they won't catch.
I don't
catch,
know. I mean, I'd have Milwaukee. To check the schedule. I'm sure I'm sure they've got... They may
won't
have
catch Milwaukee.
Okay. You're usually right, so I don't know why I bother arguing with you. So. I just look at it this way, perhaps. Maybe Toronto, I got to check the schedule. Maybe Toronto's got a couple of games left against Milwaukee. I don't know. You know, it's a long, as you say
the
all
Leafs,
the time,
the
Nas,
Leafs have the easiest
Nas,
schedule.
As you say all the time, it's a long season.
That's right.
Teams go through cycles. Milwaukee, they're 8-2 in their last 10 games.
That's their cycle.
Raptors are 9-1 in their last 10 games. So I could very well see, and the Raptors seem like. You know, they beat a pretty good Portland team Friday night. I mean, I wouldn't say they struggled to do it. They did it in a way that they had to. Interesting stat about the Raptors.
They're three games behind in the loss column, aren't they, or something like that?
No, they're only two games behind in the loss column.
Okay, so I don't see them catching him.
Okay. You know what? If Nas predicted it, it's going to happen. Well, Toronto's going to finish second.
Watch Detroit play Toronto. That would be.
I think it's
going to
be an interesting game tonight. The last time the Raptors played Detroit was that the game that Detroit beat them
at the buzzer?
I think that you know the Raptors may you know they may come out they may want to show their ex coach a little something tonight. You know the I think the Pistons got.
I don't like these things about ex coaches and ex players going back
the
for Toronto teams. You got Tavares who went back to the Islanders, and then you got the coach now. And,
you know, everybody.
Kawhi goes back to San Antonio,
you know,
and gets killed.
We're running out of time, and you brought up a topic. I don't think we can let go. Is the
Islanders
the one thing I loved about that Islanders crowd Thursday night. Man, they make noise. I mean, it's too bad you can't get that kind of an atmosphere. Yeah, down at the, I was going to call it the ACC. When am I going to get over it? The SBA. It's too bad you can't get that atmosphere down at the SBA, and you never will. You never will because, you know, Toronto's a corporate crowd. It's the highest ticket in the league.
As Cherry said last night on Hockey Night in Canada, he said they drew 17,000 or 18,000 for the Leafs.
Yeah, 13,000
for Washington.
But here's the thing we forget, because we don't see it that much down at the SBA. Is you get an emotional crowd with a buzz in the building. If you don't think that doesn't motivate a team, man, it does. And you know the Islanders, you know, the crowd was insane. And you know the buzz in the building. And apparently, I was talking to Mike Wilson yesterday, the ultimate Leafs fan, who's on his way to Calgary this morning. We wanted to get him on the show this morning to talk about the atmosphere there. They tailgate. There's a couple, he told me that there's a couple of arenas in the, and we only got a minute left, and we'll get Mike on the show in a couple of weeks when he's back to Toronto. At the Islanders games, at the Carolina games, the fans tailgate. I go, man, that's cool. I don't know how you tailgate in Toronto when it's minus 20, but that gives you an idea of the atmosphere. And, you know, in the old days at the Maple Leaf Gardens, you know, especially in the playoff, you know, you used to have that buzz in the building. And they used to call it the Carlton Street Cash Box, where you know the teams would come in here, and the Leafs would have a tough team, and they beat people up, and the fans would get motivated. And you know what? It does make a difference. It makes a difference. You know, otherwise you just see players going through the motions. That emotion, the fans getting into the game, can bring out the emotions and motivate the players.
You know,
and the Islanders did that. The fans did that Thursday night.
We're running out of time, but the Islanders. The Islanders have 81 points, and they're not secure for a playoff spot.
No, not at all.
Can you imagine if they missed the playoffs? They would be chanting, "We need Tavares." Right?
Anyways, Naz, as usual, we run out of time just as we're getting animated. So we've got to get off the air. To all our loyal listeners, have a fantastic and, more importantly, a safe week. We'll be back next Sunday morning.